The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. In today's sermon, Elder John Morgan Owens teaches us from Scripture the truth that we must glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us today as we learn this important principle, which will guide us as we evaluate the doctrines of the religious world. If it glorifies only God, then it lines up with Scripture. If it glorifies anything else, it is likely false doctrine.
Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He
book of Galatians, chapter 6, Galatians 6, and we'll look at verse 11, at the very end there of Galatians. Paul says this, he says, "You see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." All right, so what's going on here is Paul is writing to this church that had been afflicted, if you will, with some of these Judaizing missionaries and their message, which was, you know, you got to remember that at these days, these were the early days of Christianity, okay? And so as Christ has come and he has upset the apple cart, if you will, and turned things on their head, you've still got a lot of people, of Jewish people, who are still carrying on the Jewish traditions. That you've also got people, Gentiles, who are who have converted to Christianity, and then you've got Jewish people who are converting to Christianity. And so in that mix, there's a little bit of contention. And what these Judaizers were, they were Christians who believed in Christ, who taught very similar doctrines, except they were teaching that in addition to Christ's blood and his payment on the cross, that you had to also keep the conditions of the law in order to, you know, as we would put it today, to be saved. Okay. And so what they're doing is they're obviously going around and they're stirring people up and they're putting people under bondage again, because they're saying, look, I know that you're enjoying the peace that you feel in Christ, but let me just remind you that you've also got to keep the law and you got to be circumcised and you got to do all these things. Adding to the burden of the disciples things that God didn't intend, okay? And so that's what Paul is combating here. And so what he says, as many desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you. These people that are adding conditions to grace, okay, what they're doing is that they constrain you to be circumcised only, lest they should suffer persecution of the cross of Christ. In other words, what's happening here is there's a group of people who can't seem to handle the social pressures. They don't want to be canceled, is what we would say today, all right? They don't want to go counter to the momentum of culture, and so they change the doctrine to fit, okay? These people didn't want to upset the Jewish people by saying that Christ has fulfilled the law. So they said, well, let's just bend it. Let's just bend it so that we don't have to have discomfort with other people. We'll just say that in addition to the sacrifice of Christ, you've also got to keep all these things. Okay, that's what he said. He said, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They were not willing. They were not willing to take a stand in doctrine because they were afraid of being, as we would say it today, canceled by the culture. Okay? Now, if we ever, from this pulpit, okay, if we ever begin to sacrifice the message of doctrine, of the truth of the Scripture, because we are afraid of the repercussions or what people might think of us, then we don't need to be up here, okay? Now there is obviously a sense in which the way that you tell the truth can make a difference, okay? You know, you can get up here and you can say the truth and not say it in love, and that's another thing, okay? But we should, nonetheless, seek to teach the truth, to follow the truth, regardless of whether that puts us in the public eye, regardless of where that puts us politically or socially, okay? You know, we live in a time where if you come out and say the quiet part out loud, if you come out and you say the truth, it will get you some ridicule. It will get you some shame from the crowd, if you will. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be brave enough, strong enough to do it, okay? As I recall, Christ, your God, came and he endured the ridicule of an entire crowd. A crowd who didn't just say, oh, let's strip him of his credentials, let's take his business from him, you know, let's smear his name on social media or on the news. No, they said, crucify him, right? And he didn't recant, did he? He didn't back down from the task that he had. And thank the Lord that he didn't, right? Now, I wish that my love for him was as great as his love for me. All right, so that's what these people were dealing with. These people who were trying to put these additional burdens on the disciples. It says in verse 13, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law." It says they're hypocrites, okay? You know, join the club. We're all hypocrites, right? We all realize that there are ideals that we should be living to. You know, the ideal ultimately is not of you know, the best person in this room. The ideal is Christ. And we will never meet that goal, okay? And that is exactly why he came and died on the cross for us. But the point is that you push, you try, you strive for that. It says, "They don't keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." What they're doing here is they're getting people to do these additional things in addition to what Christ has done for you, so that they could say, "I did that," right? This gentleman was circumcised, and I did that, right? And so they're wanting to have occasion to glory, to take some effort of man and to add it to their resume, okay, to pad their resume, to make themselves feel good about themselves. And Paul, in response, says, "But God forbid." There's a few times in Scripture where that phrase occurs, "God forbid," and it is always in pretty dire doctrinal situations, okay? He says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." If your doctrine leads you to any territory where you are heaping glory unto yourself, God forbid. Okay? He boils it down. I mean, if you really want to think about it, your doctrine should be Christ-centered. It should be focused not just on the teachings of Christ, but at its heart, it should be the cross of Christ, right? You know, many people, even people who are not religious, who are not Christian, think that Jesus had good moral teachings, okay? So the teachings of Christ are obviously, they are critical. But at the heart of doctrine is the cross of Christ. Because he didn't just come to teach you some things that somebody could write in a book someday on how to have a better personality, how to live better, right? He came because you were flawed. Amen. And he came to die on the cross for you. Yes. And because of our flaws, we have nothing to brag about. Amen. Okay, we have nothing on our resume. You know, I believe as God's elect and as his born-again children, that you will be there in heaven. Right. And it won't be because of some great decision that you made. Amen. It won't be because of some acts that you did, your baptism, or add any condition on there that you want. It won't be because of that. It will be because of Christ on the cross, right? And so that's why Paul says, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross." And so obviously we see that. We see that in doctrines today, in where man puts something in addition in there, slips it in there, like a little a rider in a bill, you know. They stick something in there that has nothing to do with the rest of what's going on, just to see if they can get that passed into law. Well, here, man tries to slip, well, okay, Jesus died for you on the cross, but now also, you need to do these things. You need to accept him. You need to, you know, confess all your sins. Now look, we certainly should. Okay, you should accept Christ. You should confess your sins. But it's not to get saved, okay? It's because you are saved. And because when you follow what God has taught, it makes a difference for you. You want to just keep on living without ever acknowledging that you're wrong? You know, it's gonna cause some issues in your life, okay? It's gonna create a train wreck of a life. That's what it really is. And so the teachings of Christ in accepting him, the teachings of the Bible on accepting him and these others are not conditions, as they would say, conditions precedent, conditions that come before. They're actually symptoms of what already is within you, okay? Your desire to want to do good works, your desire to want to accept Him, your desire to want to walk with Him is not there because you're going to act on it and then become saved. You realize that it's there because He has given it to you already and you are saved. So the whole point of this this passage that Paul is speaking to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that there are things that man does to get glory and to glory over you, to say, I have baptized this many people, I've saved this many souls. You know, you can have the altar call and people come up and you can count heads, and man, you can start adding that up. And then at the end of your career in ministry, okay, you can say, I saved 3,000 people. You know, man, I feel good, right? And I could say to myself, well done, thou good, faithful servant. See, that's not what it says.
That's right. Amen.
You know, now look, there's nothing wrong with ministry. There's nothing wrong with evangelism. There's nothing wrong with missionaries, missionary work, okay? But we got to remember that it's about who's the focus, okay? Is the focus on some sinner? Or is the focus on the cross? And that's exactly what Paul says. It's very you want to make it simple? It's very simple. If you're glorying in anything but the cross of Christ, you've got it wrong. Okay, it's very simple. That could be, and we could dissect all the different doctrines in the world, and really, you want to make it really simple. There's a litmus test. Does it give glory to man? Or does it place the glory on the cross of Christ?
Amen.
Okay. That's how you separate true doctrine from error. And so he says here, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. It says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. He says, it's not about the outward things. Circumcision, it was an example, okay? It's not about the things that you have done in response to this. He said, it's about a new creature. Now, these other things of the flesh, circumcision, we can think of it in terms of baptism, communion, confession of sins, whatever condition you want to put on it, those are outward things. He said it's not about acts of volition, acts of decisions that you make. It's about a new creature. So not of volition, of decisions that you make, but of creation. And who does creation? Okay, not me. God does that. Okay. And so that thing within you, that drive, that hunger that you have for Christ, for God, is called the new creature. Just as God created the world, He created the creatures, or really that's the root word of, you know, creation, to create. The creatures are created things. We are creatures, we're created things. But then He says, a new creature, a new created thing within you. You didn't create the new man. You didn't create that spiritual life within you. God did, okay? So He says it's not about all these outward things, all these physical things, all of the tests or whatever that you can pass to get in. It's about creation.
Amen.
And we know God handles creation, okay? Now, here, as we kind of move off from looking at doctrine, we just got a few minutes left. I want us to also look at a practical application of the Scripture, okay? So he says here in verse 14, we've read it a couple times, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Okay, he throws this in here. What he's saying is that all of the things of the world, all of the false promises, all of the stuff out there is dead to me. Okay, because of the cross of Christ, those things have no value to me. And he said the same unto the world, okay? The world doesn't like you either, okay? There's no love lost there. All right, so my question, again, we've talked about this recently, but where do you find your value? That's a big topic in self-help teachings today. About, you know, you just need to, you know, you need to value yourself and, you know, just the way you are, you know, love yourself. Okay, well, but here's what he's saying. Do you find your value on the things of this world? Let me give you some examples. Do you gain value of yourself based on your job or the job that you do? Y'all remember when we went through the pandemic and it was, you know, well, you're non-essential and you're essential. You remember that? You kind of say, well, I'm an essential employee. You know, I'm important. or maybe it's the particular position at your job that you hold, and you think, well, at night you lay down and you say, well, you know, I'm somebody because I got that. I worked hard to get this position. On what basis do you assess your value? Okay, you know, we look at the stock market. And, you know, everybody's panicking now because it's going down. Well, guess what? That's what it does, okay? That's what the stock market does. Especially any time that you have fear or a little turbulence in the air. You know, that's what people do. They panic. I'm so glad that my value is not assessed on the general consensus of the public and how they feel about things, right? I'm so glad that it's not based on something so subjective as how the news media makes people feel that day, right? You know, but how do you assess your value? Do you assess your value based on your house or your car or the money that you've got or the investments you've made? I certainly hope not. You know, it doesn't take but average stormy day in Alabama to wipe that away, right? Or you know, a hailstorm come through, and there goes your car, your money, your investments. Well, that can be gone just as quick. I mean, look at the stock market, right? You could take the number of acres of land that you own and say, man, you know, I'm somebody now. You can certainly, this is a danger that I have, is assessing my value based off of my family. You know, you take your spouse or your parents or your brothers or sisters or your children, and you assess value to yourself based on them. And again, that is a dangerous place to be, because that person will let you down. And you know, some people, it may be pets and hobbies, and I mean, you could think of any number of things that you know you look forward to seeing at the end of the day, and you do that thing, and then you put too much emphasis on that thing to be what stabilizes you, and we all do it, okay? And could be your talents, your abilities, your skills. You know, I used to think that I was a fast, I could jump real high. You know, guess what? If that was how I assess my value today, my stock plummeted. Okay, right. Put on some weight, stopped running, stopped having time to do that, and you know, I can't, you know, run a 40 time like I used to, right? I mean, I could try. But there would be some injuries, right? There would be some hurt feelings too. So as we close, so think about it. You already know the thing in your life. You've probably already thought about it while I'm talking. I know because I do that when somebody preaches about this. I'm already thinking about the things that I put too high on the pedestal. Jesus says in Matthew 6, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That thing that you treasure, that's where your heart's going to be. And so, and the psalmist, actually it's in Proverbs, says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard it with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. The example there is that your heart is like the source of water that all of the streams of your life flow out of. So if your treasure is on some person who can fail you, if your treasure is on some amount of money or on job or on hobbies or a pet or anything, just anything that you can think of, that's, Jesus says, if that's your treasure, that's where your heart is. And that means that all the things that you do in your life are going to be an outflowing of that and going to be affected by that. You know what happens when our treasure is where it should be, which is in heaven with Jesus Christ? Then the streams of your life, the things that you do every day, the way that you feel, the way that you interact with people is outflowings from heaven, okay? Amen. And that makes a difference.
Yes.
And so, you know, as we close this, Paul says, it says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Obviously, we know that applies directly to our salvation. But also remember this, this was a large measure of comfort to me when I was in school, when I was in undergrad and in law school, because I put so much pressure on myself to perform and to score and to whatever I needed to do. And you can really, you know, you can really hurt yourself putting so much pressure on yourself. And I had to remember, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. You know, and it was a comfort to me because I realized that the pressure I was putting on myself was because I was trying to find some worth for myself out of this thing that I was doing. And I had forgotten that God Himself had already ascribed so much value to me in the fact that He would go to the cross and die for me, right? And so look, no matter how amazing, how incredible you think you are, or on the other hand, how much of a weasel you think you are, okay? Your value is depicted in the cross of Christ. That God would love you enough to pay for your sins and to not be ashamed of you. And so I encourage you, as you go forward, to keep that verse on your mind. You know, because it's not just helpful for us to remember that about our salvation, but it's also good for us to remember that in day-to-day things, as we attach value to certain people or certain things, remember that your value is not in somebody else. Your value is depicted, as I said, in the cross of Christ. Okay, so you don't have to do all these things to be somebody. You already are. Now just live like it, okay? It takes a lot of pressure off when you realize that God loved you enough to pay for you on the cross.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.